Let's pray God to bless this message and will stir you up to be holier this year than you were last year. God might not give us another day. He might come again tonight. You might die tonight. Let's pray we'll be holy. Dear God, I pray, Father, you'll give us something tonight, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. Help us to see you. We pray again, Father, for this message. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, we pray. Amen. Title of my message now, December 31st, 2007. Didn't think I'd ever be here preaching another prophecy message in 2007. But we're here. And I tell you, the title of my message is Antichrist and His Coming Peace. The pictures we have here are the flag of the European Union, the 12 stars. Beside it is the poster of the European Union, the Tower of Babel with the Star of Baphomet here, the goat's head star, 12 stars, and they have the Tower of Babel here. Pretty much saying, we are putting back the Tower of Babel. And so this is an Antichrist kingdom. They're not hiding their occultism. And what we see next to it is the symbol of Mary and the Marian movement of priests. And maybe it's just me, but I see three sixes there. I see a six this way, a six upside down, and then a backward six. So it's a very strange. But notice our verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I wonder if that woman with child there is a... I know it means that just as a woman is in travail, this is how it's going to be. It's going to escalate as it moves toward the final destruction when Jesus comes out of the sky and judges the world. But I wonder if it's also a double reference to the fact that a woman with child, they're going to worship Mary and her son, which is really not Jesus. And they're going to worship this false Mary with child. And it's probably going to be the image that's going to increase everywhere you look. So we're going to start a general review of the year, 2007. And there's so much that I was not able to include here, but it's been a very busy year. It's been, as far as stage setting prophetically, I can only touch upon some of the highlights. But here's some things that I thought were significant in regard to setting the stage for the coming Antichrist. First thing I'll point out to you is the fact that the headline is Pastor with 666 tattoo claims to be divine. Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda, a minister, says he is God. Now, I think this is significant because we're starting to see more and more men, more and more false prophets, come out and say, I'm God. I'm Christ. De Jesus preaches that there's no devil and no sin. Well, that's a sign of the last days, isn't it? Anything goes because there is no sin. His church claims thousands of members in more than 30 countries. Watch followers get 666 tattoos for their leader. You can click on a little thing there on the website and see them get 666. Doing God's work with a Lexus and Rolex. De Jesus says that 666 and the Antichrist are like him misunderstood. He says Antichrist is the best person in the world. He says Antichrist means don't put your eyes on Jesus because Jesus of Nazareth wasn't a Christian. Antichrist means do put your eyes on Jesus Christ. Do not put your eyes on Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Put it on Jesus after the cross. And of course, who would that be? He thinks it's him. De Jesus says that means him. So this is just unbelievable that a man could be so blasphemous to say the Jesus on the cross, don't look at him, there is no sin, take 666, worship me, I'm Jesus. It's just unbelievable. But it does say in the last days, they worshiped the dragon. That's Satan. Clearly it says that Satan is mentioned in Revelation chapter 12. They worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast, the Antichrist. And they worship the beast. So, satanic worship is going to be revived in the last days. Or it's going to come to this earth like never before. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. So, the Antichrist, one side of the Antichrist is he is very blasphemous against God when he finally takes his mask off. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And what is the number of the beast? It is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So, I don't believe likely that this man with thousands of followers around the world is the coming Antichrist. But you've already got a man that can find thousands of followers around the world in this day and age that can talk people into the fact that there's no sin, worship me, and he blasphemes God, and people will take 666 on their arm. It's amazing that this could actually occur. And that's a sign of the last days. Jesus says in Matthew 24, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, and that's what this day Jesus is, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This man did not even do any wonder. He doesn't have any miraculous power. And he can already get thousands to worship him. What's the Antichrist going to be able to do? And some of these other false Christs that are going to show up here pretty soon. I mean, all the world's going to go after him. Well, you know, there's been shootings all over the place in churches, and we're starting to get more of them in churches, certainly in schools. And I find it interesting that this past young man that killed those people in the church in Colorado, it says gunmen boasted of following wickedest man in the world. Here's a ministry that we believe he sent to an email that we believe he sent to a ministry, and here's what he says before he shot those people in the church. I have studied and practiced teachings of occultists. Weeks before Matthew Murray armed himself with enough weaponry and ammunition to kill hundreds, attacking both a Christian missions training center and a Colorado Springs church, he apparently boasted in an email that he had discovered and practiced the teachings of controversial British occultist Aleister Crowley, called during his lifetime the wickedest man in the world. And we said, back when Harry Potter came out years ago, that it's going to bring a generation of children that are going to follow the teachings of Aleister Crowley. Because Harry Potter is based totally on the teachings of Aleister Crowley, the great Satanist. And I showed you articles about Crowleyism reviving in England and Britain, elsewhere. And here's now the fruition. One of the historians of the Salem witch trials said later, Upham was his name, Charles Upham, and he said, you know what? Whenever children start messing around with occultism, you better watch out. Because there's always going to be bloodshed and demonic, horrible tragedies occurring. And so, we've been thinking that there's going to be a whole harvest of rotten fruit that's going to come from this Harry Potter mess. And here's, I believe, the first sign of it. And of course, it's not just Harry Potter. The rock and roll world has been worshiping Aleister Crowley for many decades now. Okay, WorldNet Daily reported at the time on the disturbing rantings Murray apparently left on several websites before and even between the attacks, including those reported by National Terror Alert, which documented a series of postings by Nightmare Child 26, which said, "You Christians brought this on yourselves. All I want to do is kill and injure as many of you as I can. Christians who are to blame for most of the problems in the world." See, we're starting to get a recurrent theme here. They believed that in the early days of the Roman Empire, that Christians were to blame for the fires and all of the tragedy. So we're starting to get this theme coming out. I have since joined Freemasonry and found, studied, and practiced the teachings of Crowley, of the Kabbalah, Blavatsky, which of course was mentioned in the Harry Potter novels, the great feminist, homosexual Satanist of the 1800s, Manly P. Hall, Alice Bailey, and others. The email noted that music is a very powerful thing. I have a powerful addiction to a powerful drug. This fun and enjoyable activity. Now, this man had an opportunity to be a good Christian. You understand that? He had the opportunity to learn about Christ and grow in a religious home. But he decided he's going to get into rock music, see? And so, even within a somewhat Christian home, I guess, he was able to get a hold of rock music, and he thought he was so, quote, cool, as he sat over there listening to his devil-possessed music. And all of a sudden, guess what? When you listen to devil-possessed music, you get possessed by the devil. Realize that? And bad things happen. Before he killed all those people and killed himself, he says music is a very powerful thing. We've been saying that for years. I have a powerful addiction to a powerful drug. This fun and enjoyable activity, this powerful substance, grew into an addiction and a powerful force in my life that now controls every part of myself. I have found this drug to truly be a force to be reckoned with. This drug can completely alter blood pressure, heart rate, brainwave patterns, and other bodily functions. This drug's influence, however, goes much deeper than the physiological function, for its effects penetrate into the deepest part of one's soul. This guy, he doesn't have perfect grammar, but he can speak English. Do you understand that? He can reason. But this man that knew the word physiological, how many of you could write the word physiological? This man who knew the word physiological ended up killing a bunch of people and killing himself. This drug will completely control a person's mind, what thoughts they think and their emotions and how they feel. I found that this drug has the power to completely alter a person's religious belief, their morality, and their values, and their entire lifestyle. I'm an addict and completely powerless over this drug. I had fun with it at first, but now it controls me. It used to be a small thing in my life, but now takes up, on average, at least 5 hours each day getting high. This drug has the same effects as meth, in that it's a powerful stimulant, the addictive properties of heroin, and it has the ability of hallucinogens to cause one to trip and trance out into other realities. This drug is far more dangerous and addicting than marijuana, and even harder drugs. I found this drug to be a powerful driving force, an easy gateway into a world of fornication, other drugs, rebellion, homosexuality, alcoholism, and many other dark things. All the things that Aleister Crowley was into that'll kill you and send you to hell. I have found such an incredible power in this drug that will completely carry one's mind away into a very real spiritual realm. My mind is completely controlled by this drug, and there was no way at all for me to break free. What is this mind-altering, life-changing drug that has such an incredible power? The drug that I use and am addicted to is commonly known in our culture as rock music. CNN reported a man who was Murray's roommate while he was at the YWAM training camp said Murray would hear voices and sometimes talk to them. The CNN report said Richard Lerner confirmed the decision for Murray to leave the program. Why did he leave the program? Because he performed songs by rock stars, Marilyn Manson, at a Christmas event for the Christian program. You know what happened to this boy? He messed around with things that the world says won't harm you, that it's just fun, and he got devil-possessed. That's what happened. And when the boy got devil-possessed, he went into a church and tried to kill a bunch of people, and now he's in hell. That's what happened. It's like that man that got into pornography and raped all of those women and killed them all. Serial murder. And he said, hey, pornography was my gateway. Nobody believes it. Nobody, you know how much the media reported this? Almost zilch. Hardly ever. Why? Because they're all guilty. They'd have to confess we're partly responsible for bringing this type of thing into the world. And they don't want to face reality. But we've been trying to give them reality for many years. And many other preachers throughout the years have been trying to wake people up that Satan is not some funny little thing to play with. Fornication and death and sodomy, it's not fun. Man, I'd like to grab some boys and just shake them. You know it? I really would. Because there's some fools in churches all across America. And if you walk into some churches, you can see them. They've got their hair kind of shaggy. They've got mascara on. They've got little earrings hanging out. And they think it's fun. This know also, says Timothy, or Paul to Timothy, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Here they are. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. I wonder if lovers of their own selves, they might just be homosexual. Never thought about it before. We know they're going to be in love with themselves emotionally. But I wonder if there's something else more there. Something else there. They're going to be proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and fierce. Despisers of those that are good. They just shoot you. It's amazing, isn't it? Revelation 13. The spirit of Antichrist. This is the literal Antichrist. It says it was given unto him to make war with the saints. So Satan wants to kill Christians. So if you get devil possessed, you'll want to kill Christians too. Because the devil wants to kill Christians. Then we've got other things in the news. Hornets hit France and could reach Britain. Swarms of giant hornets renowned for their vicious stings. Here's another headline. Fornication returns syphilis to Europe. You know, when they first, the real first hippie movement, a lot of us don't realize this, the first hippie movement actually began in the late 1800s. It was the first free love societies actually got together. It was the first experiment. And you know what God did? Killed them all with syphilis. Many of the guys you studied in school, the poets, the musicians, the artists, they might mention it down here at the bottom. Oh, by the way, he died of syphilis. They died of sexual diseases. It took about 100 years later for them to all try it again and spread it all around the world. And guess what? God's going to kill them all again. Syphilis returns to Europe. And here's one, superbug, the MRSA infection. It wasn't long ago that if your child got a staph infection, it was knocked out with a couple of doses of penicillin. Now penicillin may not work because there's a form of staph called MRSA that has mutated to become resistant to most antibiotics. Correspondent Leslie Stahl traveled to a Pennsylvania high school where 13 members of the football team were infected. So what's happening? There's bugs, pestilences showing up. Jesus said, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. And I believe this is stage setting for even bigger pestilences that is coming. And what about this? Here's a headline. Experts warn major Israel quakes fast approaching. Revelation 11 tells us that one day there's going to be a great earthquake and the tenth part of the city, that's Jerusalem, fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. So they're already starting to realize that these earthquakes are coming. And Jesus certainly said in Matthew 24 that you're going to have earthquakes increasing. Life Science, back in 2005, we preached on it in previous years. Scientists say natural disasters becoming more common. This year, insured losses from natural disasters nearly doubled in 2007, company says. Indeed, our Lord in Luke 21 says, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. I don't believe disasters are coming because that's an astrological word, but I'm going to tell you something. Calamities are coming. Tragedy is coming. Reuters tells us natural disasters will increase. UN meteorologists say global warming is likely to bring more tidal waves, floods, and hurricanes. That's exactly what our Bible says. They act like they're reporting it. That's what makes me angry. Jesus said it 2,000 years ago, and they act like they're being scientific. What we know is that global warming is very likely to lead in the future to more frequent tidal waves. Well, how about that? Did you give glory to Jesus? The Secretary General of the World Meteorological Organization told a news conference ahead of a meeting in Madrid. In Russia, the number of damaging weather incidents logged in a year now averages more than one a day. Here's another headline. Impact of Arctic heat wave stuns climate researchers. See, the New Age liberal global warming advocates want to blame it on your car or things like that. And there's debate on whether man can cause these things or not. But I believe everybody should agree that something is going on with the sun. And when you look at the book of Revelation, he says that God smites the sun and the sun gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And I believe we're starting to see the stage-setting preparations for what God's going to do. It's a warning. Just like when a woman has a child. She's not in labor yet, but she gets signs she's about to be in labor. That's what God's giving you. He's giving you a sign that you're about to enter the tribulation period. Here's another headline. Disasters escalating fourfold. Natural disasters have quadrupled over the last two decades. From an average of 120 a year in the early 80s to as many as 500 today, says the international agency Oxfam in a new report. And then finally, 2007, a year of weather records in the U.S. When the calendar turned to 2007, the heat went on and the weather just got weirder. January was the warmest first month on record worldwide. And as 2007 drew to a close, England had the warmest April in 348 years of record keeping there, shattering the record set in 1865. It wasn't just the temperature. There were other oddball weather events. A tornado struck New York City in August, inspiring the tabloid headline, "This ain't Kansas." In the Middle East, an equally rare cyclone spun up in June, hitting Iran. Major U.S. lakes shrank. Smashing records was common, especially in August. At U.S. weather stations, more than 8,000 new heat records were set or tied for specific August dates. Across Europe this past summer, extreme heat waves killed dozens of people. And it wasn't just the heat, it was the rain. There was either too little or too much. And yet none of those events worried scientists as much as what was going on in the Arctic in the summer. I believe that for Christians to sit back and relax and get worldly with all of this going on, I believe that's insanity. When we started our annual prophecy watches 10 years ago, do you realize that the past 10 years have all given us records? The past 10 years are the top 10 hottest years on record. I said years ago before Y2K, hold on to your flashlight. The Bible doesn't tell us anything about a computer crash, but it does tell us a lot about national weather calamities all around the world. And we better get ready for them. And I think the Lord is shaking up this world. I think He's warning us. As sin increases, God's judgments increase, and it's a sign that your cup's just about full. I'm shaking things, and I'm letting you know my patience is just about to run out. Every year we spend a lot of time looking at the prophecies for the mark of the beast. I'll spend just a little while this year. Stage setting for the mark of the beast. FBI prepares vast database of biometrics. $1 billion project to include images of irises and faces. The FBI is embarking on a $1 million effort to build the world's largest computer database of people's physical characteristics. A project that would give the government unprecedented abilities to identify individuals in the United States and abroad. You know what we really have? We have a race to see who's going to get to be the Antichrist. That's what's happening all around the world. You've got the Catholic Church, you've got Europe, you've got the internationalists, you've got America. Everybody's rushing to see who's going to get to be the Antichrist. It's amazing. Revelation 13, no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. This RFID technology, these computer chips, they're starting to become more saturated in our society. Now a hamburger can be ordered by your mobile phone. It's a convergent service that utilizes SK Telecom's RFID technology in the restaurant industry. So it's become more and more a part of our daily lives. See? Police begin fingerprinting on traffic stops. I remember the day when I went to a bank to cash a check and they said, give me your thumbprint. I said, excuse me? You're kidding, right? They said, no. You want your check cashed? Give us your thumb. I said, it sounds like 666 and the mark of the beast. And they all kind of giggle. And after the giggle's over, they're like, give us your thumb. What do? You want your money, you give them your thumb. But pretty soon, you're going to have to draw the line, friend. Fingerprinting for running a red light? Well, running a red light's pretty serious. But for having a taillight out or something? I mean, this is getting ridiculous. Why do you need my fingerprint? Then this headline was big news in 2007. Medical microchip for people may cause cancer. Company didn't tell public of decades-old studies tying device to rat tumors. All these years of people getting on television, these families say, we all got the chip. See, we've got it all. And being parading, and everybody getting happy about the mark of the beast, or at least the technology that might be utilized. Everybody getting excited about getting injected with a chip. Doctors all over the place putting it in their hand to show, see, it doesn't hurt. Now we hear about tumors, cancer. This reminds me of the judgment God's going to send upon those that take the mark. In Revelation 16, it says, the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome, that means harmful, and grievous sore, upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Anybody that takes that is going to have a horrible sore, some type of tumor or something. And here, folks, we're already getting something like that. Or at least the rats and animals got it. Now, when you go to Digital Angel's website, they're doing everything they can to act like, hey, you know, this isn't really any big deal, guys. Don't get afraid, see? So they say, implantable microchips have become a well-accepted means of pet identification in the global veterinary community. Over the last 15 years, millions of dogs and cats throughout the world have safely received an implantable microchip. So don't worry, see, because they want your children to be chipped, see. And they want you to continue to get your doggy chipped because they're setting the stage to finally come to you and say, look, you've had Fido chipped for many, many years. It's no big deal. Don't you want your little one chipped? And of course, they're bringing it through the medical industry. Here's one of their headlines just this last few weeks, December 5th. Verichips Corporation and Digital Angels Corporation self-contained implantable RFID glucose sensing microchip currently featured on Fox News. So they're going, you know, that they have this marketing campaign to get on Fox News and tell you, if you have diabetes, we'll stick a chip inside of you and it'll always tell you what you're like. Wow, that's wonderful. Everybody's going to get excited about it. See, they're entering through the door of the safety and protection. After 9/11, they were pushing the safety aspect. Now they're pushing the medical aspect, see. And it's going to work. It's starting to saturate into people's understanding about things. And now it's not that uncommon to go to somebody and say, what do you think? They think it's a wonderful idea. It'd be great for the elderly and for the children. And as long as you didn't get a tumor and it didn't lead to the mark of the beast and you could trust people not to misuse it, maybe something like that would be practical. And they always use, hey, you know, you got people with pacemakers, and why not take a chip, an injectable chip? All right, let's notice some other aspects of perilous times and the coming falling away. What about this one? Schools told to encourage boys to play netball and dance to balance gender. Now, when they say balance gender, they mean confused gender. What they mean, when they say balanced gender, they say there's way too much masculinity here. And there's way too much femininity over there left in our society. We need to balance it. And by balance, it means they turn you into a perfect hermaphrodite, androgynous, whatever, he-she type of creature. Do you understand that? As a result, hundreds of schools have adopted schemes that suggest boys should take up traditionally female pursuits and vice versa. So again, this is a sign of the time. Men lover of themselves? I guess this is what's happening. This is the homosexualizing of our society. And we know it's the core aspect of occultism. Baphomet, the symbol of evil and Satanism, is a half man, half goat, half female type of thing. And so you have the ultimate perversion, the scrambling of the genders, because man is made in the image of God, and he was the highest creation. You know, he's higher than the monkeys, higher than the tree, and he's God's highest creation in this Adamic earth. And Satan wants to take man and pervert, because it says God made him male and female. So Satan wants to take what God has separated and put it together. Jesus also tells us in Luke 17, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And we know what it was in the days of Lot. Men were lovers of themselves in a very evil way. Revelation 11 says, the two witnesses, which I believe are Moses and Elijah, their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom. That's Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is going to be a center of homosexuality coming up, I believe. Notice 2 Timothy 4 says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know what that tells me? If you cannot endure sound doctrine, you're effeminate. Because notice, he tells Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So in other words, play the man. Quit yourselves like men. Endure the teaching. But in the last days, they're not going to be able to endure it. That hurts my feeling. They get all sensitive. Do you see that? We're living in the days of a feminization of Christianity right now. Well, you've seen over there in the UK, they want to confuse the genders. Not to be outdone, American schools are jumping in on it. Cross-dressing day sparks school exodus. Parents pull students from district, citing conflict with biblical rules. Now, I believe they later, once you had this outcry, I think this particular school changed their mind about it. But can you imagine? Cross-dressing day! They always try to see what people will tolerate. See? And they'll try it again next year. What I'm trying to figure out is on what basis the parents objected to cross-dressing day. Madonna sang about it, and she's upset about it. Madonna says in her lyrics, hey, girls can wear jeans and cut their hair short. They can wear shirts and boots because it's okay to be a boy in our society. But for a boy to look like a girl is degrading. So the school could care less that all the girls come to school looking like boys, and none of these Christian parents pull their kids out of school. But the one day, the boys say, well, we're going to dress like girls today. The parents say, abomination. That's ridiculous. I think it's all an abomination. Now, what about this? It's an all-star conference set for the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove. Hey, it's coming up January 17th and 19th. Listen to this. Crystal Cathedral, by the way, is Robert Shuler. Former President George H.W. Bush will speak. Chuck Colson will make a presentation. Larry King will be there. Rupert Murdoch will address attendees. Ben Stein will appear. Kay Warren, wife of Saddleback Church mega pastor Rick Warren, will join Robert Schuller, the white-haired, bespectacled purveyor of possibility thinking. What could such a diverse group have in common? What's the topic? Well, it's a little vague. It's called the Rethink Conference. Now, if you've read much of Robert Schuller in his New Reformation, when he says rethinking Christianity, he means satanic humanism. Some, including Christian author and former New Age devotee Warren Smith, suspect an agenda to subvert the church, to take the focus off biblical truth and absolutes. He says, from my perspective as a former New Age follower, I believe that Robert Schuller's mission has always been to rethink and change biblical Christianity into something new, as in New Age, new spirituality. So all of these world leaders are getting together with these church leaders to rethink Christianity. Oh, the Apostle Paul tells us, let no man deceive you by any means in 2 Thessalonians 2. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. I think this conference is a sign of the falling away. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. All of this is leading to the Antichrist. What are these false prophets going to say? Well, you've already heard what that day Jesus' false prophet said. There's no sin. Now, they all can't say it as blatant as he said it. See, some of them will put a little bait and a little bit of holiness, but sin is what sells. So these false prophets, according to 2 Peter 2:19, will promise them liberty. That's it. These super churches grow big because they have no standards. That's it, no standards. Unless they're working really, really hard and discipling a lot of people and getting God's blessing and praying, praise God for them. But a lot of them are growing big like a cancer grows big. Well, here's another sign of the last day's apostasy. More Christians approve of drinking alcohol. ChristianNet.com. They had a contest, a survey to see who believes it's okay and who doesn't. And more Christians believed it was okay than believed it wasn't okay. Here's another sign of the last days. Young people reading a lot less. You've got to deal with these folks. Now, they can read Harry Potter. They can sit on the internet and read all that trash on those websites. But they can't read the Bible. All right, let's talk about Israel's restoration and unbelief. We're living in the last days, 1947. Israel was restored as a nation in unbelief. And I tell you, things have been increasing rapidly around the world ever since then, right? Here's a headline. Israel haven for new Baha'i world order. Dominating a holy mountain in Israel is the nerve center of the world's fastest growing major religion, preaching global unity and what? World peace. Right over there in Israel is going to be the center of this Antichrist religion. And here's another headline. Renew animal sacrifices on the mount, says radical rabbi, a member of the Sanhedrin. Says sacrifices were not possible when the people of Israel were in the diaspora, but now they are. He adds the Jerusalem temple should be rebuilt. Israeli government is standing in our way. He suggested that Muslims would agree to the project, saying the Dome of the Rock was actually intended to safeguard the site for the Jews. He says, I think the moment will come that Muslims understand the need to build the temple and go along with us. Now, we know the Bible says not only would Israel be restored as a nation in the last days, but a temple would be built. Because Revelation 11 says, there was given me a reed likened to a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. So there's got to be a what in the last days? Got to be a temple. Matthew 24. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. So there's got to be a holy place that the Antichrist can enter in. And here you've got a member of the Sanhedrin talking about, hey, let's get this temple built so we can get sacrifices offered to God. And here's another headline from IsraelNationalNews.com. Temple Institute announces High Priest Crown is ready. The Temple Institute in Jerusalem announces the completion of the High Priest headplate, now ready for use in the Holy Temple. Folks, things are coming together. I don't know when the temple will be built, but I think it's going to be soon. See. They've got the temple plans. They have this crown ready. There's a lot of other things that they've been getting ready over the years. It's only a matter of time before that temple is built. Daniel chapter 9 says, "The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." Now, it was a Roman prince that destroyed the city the first time and the temple. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week," that's 7 years. "And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice to cease," which means, guess what's coming? A temple, and they're going to have sacrifices. And the Antichrist is going to enter in and cause it to cease after making a deal with them for 7 years. So we see in the news this temple is preparing to be built in preparation for the Roman prince that is coming, the Antichrist. So let's talk for a moment about the coming Roman prince, the Antichrist. Revelation 17 says, "I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains. The head is the symbol. The mountain is the explanation of the symbol." So the mountain cannot be symbolic. The mountain must be literal mountains. 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now what is the woman? "The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." At that time, it was Rome that reigned over the kings of the earth. And Rome sat upon 7 hills. Their very coin at the time John wrote had 7 mountains upon it as a woman sitting upon the 7 hills. So the woman is a literal city. The city is seated geographically on 7 mountains. And it is associated with the scarlet-colored beast or the Antichrist. In Daniel chapter 8, it says, "The Antichrist, through his policy, shall cause craft to prosper in his hand." I believe that refers to his ability to beguile people. In other words, he's going to use manipulation. The Bible says the priests during the days of the Pharisees used craft to crucify Jesus. "And he shall magnify himself in his heart," and notice this now, "by peace shall destroy many." So how does the Antichrist come to power? With the face of peace. He is a manipulator. And I tell you what, there must be a lot of Antichrists right now. Because there's a lot of folks that are learning how to tell people what they want to hear. You know what I think is happening? People are just getting so gullible. It's very easy to fool people. Politicians can fool people. They can say, "I'm a Christian. Smile, Jesus loves you." And everybody will vote for them. A preacher can say, "How are you doing? I'm such a nice guy. I'm here to make you feel good." And everybody comes to church and gives them money. He's some homosexual, but everybody will come. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. By peace, he's going to come to power and destroy people. A very, very important book, a Catholic book, 635 pages from Queenship Publishing, Desmond A. Birch. The title of the book is Trial, Tribulation, and Triumph. This man in 635 pages has read everything from the Church Fathers. He's read almost every pope that's ever prophesied anything. He's read all of the Marian visions, all of the saints, all of their visions, these Catholic saints, these nuns, all of those visions, all of these Catholic so-called prophecies, these Fatima visions of Mary, he's read all of this stuff, and in one book he's put it all together. And what I'm going to do is summarize what all of these demons have been saying for all of these years, and it's all going to be summarized for you. Just so you understand what they're preparing. Okay? Notice. Here's what he says. This is what the Catholics are expecting. First, there will be a minor chastisement which precedes the first age of peace, the age of Mary. So they're saying, you know, things are going to get pretty rough here for a little while. But don't worry. After everything gets rough, the age of Mary is coming. Now let me tell you what I think. I think when Moses and Elijah come and terrorize the world for 3.5 years, I think they call that the minor chastisement, see. Because they make, when you get Moses and Elijah here, they turn the waters into blood, they stop heaven so it doesn't rain anymore. They victimize the world, but because the world's in sin and they're trying to give you a warning, you need to repent. I believe that's the chastisement, see. But after they are slain, the Antichrist kingdom comes. And I believe the real Antichrist kingdom is what they are calling the age of peace, the age of Mary. So get this straight. The Catholic demons are saying there is a time of chastisement coming. Okay, Moses and Elijah. After that brief period of time, which might be about 4 years, and how long does Moses and Elijah reign? 3.5 years. They said after that brief time period, there's going to be a beautiful age of peace. Our Bible says that age of peace is the age of the real Antichrist. Now notice this now. The reader has surely noticed that in none of these prophecies from popes or from those the church has designated as canonized saints, is there any inference whatsoever of an immediate approach of Antichrist? So in 600-something pages, what are they trying to get the Catholic to understand? There's no Antichrist on the horizon. Don't worry about anything bad happening. The heart and soul of these messages is the message of Fatima. In the end, my immaculate heart will triumph. And a certain period of peace will be given to the world. It will be the most glorious period of the Roman Catholic Church. Now what does our Bible say? I saw the whore drunk with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. That's future, folks. It's past and future. In fact, this is the only time in history where it hasn't been so. You had political Rome killing the literal first prophets of Jesus. Then you had the so-called Holy Roman Empire martyring Christians for 1,000 years. And then the Bible predicts it's going to really come back in a political so-called Holy Roman Empire where it's going to start murdering again. What do they say is going to happen? A wonderful period where the Catholic Church rules the world. Civil governments will be Catholic with a great Catholic monarch. The establishment of a Roman kingdom or empire most likely occurs during this period of peace. The great king will chase an invading Muslim army back to the Holy Land. See, I said for many years, I believe the Muslims are going to get some type of ability, gain some type of power after the rapture, and then the West is going to come back. This is what they're saying. They said, oh, well, we're going to have some chastisement. So whether their chastisement is Moses and Elijah, or whether it's this Muslim judgment upon the West, whatever it is, these folks are saying eventually the Catholic Church reigns. A great king will chase an invading Muslim army back to the Holy Land. There will be a complete restoration of Christian culture in the West. What do they mean by Christian culture? Roman Catholicism. The great king will be crowned Holy Roman Emperor by the reigning Pope. So now you've got two people. The reigning king and the Pope. How many people do you have in the book of Revelation? The beast and the what? The false prophet. Exploitation of the poor will be brought to an end. Isn't that nice? Isn't that wonderful? Anytime anybody says exploitation of the poor, they're talking about some type of socialistic kingdom. The Pope then calls an ecumenical council the greatest in the history of the church. He gets people like Robert Schuller and all these folks to sit down together in the greatest ecumenical council, the Whore of Babylon. Do you see it? The great king. The Antichrist and his kingdom could happen centuries or a millennium later. They're saying, don't worry about the real Antichrist. He's not going to come for centuries, possibly thousands of years later, after this wonderful age of peace where Mary reigns. So they have to get the Antichrist way down the road, thousands of years, so you don't worry about him. So now you're not watching. Now after they've discarded the Antichrist and hidden him under the bed, now it's time for an age of peace where you're going to have two men, the Pope and the great king. And the Pope and the great king rule together in this beautiful Catholic world. Our Bible says it's not a beautiful world. It's a time when people die. If we wish to stop or improve the threatened chastisement and hasten the age of peace, we must bond ourselves to devotion of our Lord in the Blessed Eucharist. Now notice, they don't want devotion to the Lord. They want devotion to a cookie. You've got to worship that cookie. And to our Mother Mary in her rosary. This is not a time to either fear the arrival of Antichrist or the end time. This is a time for hope. It is only a matter of time till Our Lady's promise of peace is fulfilled. You know, it is amazing how you've got our true prophecies in the Bible, and then you've got these lying, satanic prophecies. And in one way, they kind of work together. Because the devil lies and misinterprets the Scriptures and deceives people, but yet he sees plainly what's coming. So all he can do is try to get people to think that the real Antichrist is really the promised reign of the Catholic Church. Do you see why millions of Catholics around the world are deceived right now? And they're not going to realize it when the Antichrist comes? Daniel chapter 2. O King, Thou art a King of kings, for the God of heaven hath given Thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. Thou art this head of gold. That's the King of Babylon. And after Thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to Thee. That was the kingdom of Media and Persia. And another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. That's the kingdom of Greece. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. That was the kingdom of Rome. Now we know that because in Daniel 5, it tells us that Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, was defeated. And it tells us plainly in Daniel 5, that Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom. Okay, so the kingdom that was to come, the second kingdom, is the Media-Persia kingdom. Alright, and we know from Daniel 8, who defeated Media-Persia? It says in Daniel 8, the ram which thou sawest having two horns is Median-Persia. The rough goat is the king of Greece. We know in history as well as the Bible that the third kingdom was the kingdom of Greece that bore rule over all the earth. Now we just have to ask, who is the fourth kingdom? We don't find out from the book of Daniel, but we find out from the New Testament. Luke chapter 21, it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Well, I guess he had control over all the world, didn't he? Caesar Augustus, who is that? Acts 27, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Acts 28, when he came to Rome. All right. So we've got four kingdoms now that are revealed in our Bible. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome. He says in Daniel 7, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Now hold on a second. The fourth kingdom, Rome, is said to be conquered by Christ when He comes. Daniel 2, His legs of iron, His feet part of iron and part of clay, thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon His feet that were of iron and clay, and break them in pieces. What's the stone? Christ and His kingdom. Christ and His kingdom destroys the Roman kingdom. However, He doesn't destroy it on His legs. That's why He didn't destroy the kingdom when He came the first time. He's going to destroy it on its feet. So the kingdom, the fourth kingdom of Rome, is in two parts. First the leg part, then the toe part, or the feet part. Pember points out that the legs are the longest part. And certainly, that will be the case. Rome reigned for hundreds of years. But John is quick to tell us that the feet part has not yet been fulfilled, not even in his time. He says in Revelation 17, the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet. Now he's writing in the year AD 96 or something, long after the temple has been destroyed. And so he's in the glories of the Roman Empire. But he says, hold on a second. The Roman Empire has not yet entered the ten-toe stage yet. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. So the ten kings must be destroyed by Jesus when He comes, and they reign with the Antichrist. Now our question is simply this. Is there any sign whatsoever that Rome is being revived? The Roman kingdom. Is there any sign that the Roman kingdom is being revived? A little history. If you read The Dawn by Panton and many of the prophecy folks that were, not the JW's Dawn, but the good guy's Dawn. When you read some of these prophecy magazines back in the 1920s and earlier, when the League of Nations was formed in Europe, you know what it was called? The Council of Ten. Can you imagine how many people repented? Praise God. God just stirred them up a little bit. Wasn't that good? Headline, the Council of Ten, the League of Nations. They said, that's it. Ten toes are here. Okay. And they got on their faces and repented and praised God. God stirred them up a little bit. He's given us a lot to get stirred up. Amen? If you thought that wasn't enough, listen to what Mussolini started saying. Here's from 1926. Mussolini was from where? Italy. Okay, that's Rome. Here's what Mussolini was saying. I believe from conversation with two of his lieutenants that what the Italian Superman is aiming at is a sort of holy Roman Empire. At the head of it, God and his Superman. In the dictator's own words, Rome must again become the wonder of the whole world. I am the state. I am the Superman incarnate, even as that Napoleon of whom I secretly believe I am the incarnation. All right, now imagine you're sitting here in church, and your pastor gets up and reads from the newspaper, hey guys, you better repent. There's a guy over here in Europe now, from Rome, or from Italy. He thinks he is a reincarnation of Napoleon, and he thinks he's putting the Holy Roman Empire back together. Man, it's time to repent. Wow. Here's what else Mussolini said. Rome must become the most wonderful city in the whole world in the eyes of all people. The Catholic Church represented the only uninterrupted chain linking fascist Italy with imperial Rome. It is not by chance that the language of the Catholic Church has always been the language of Caesar. So you know what? Mussolini thought that he was that great Antichrist, Alma, I guess, that's going to rule the world with the Pope. And he says, you know what, when you look back to Rome, the Catholic Church has kept the Roman government and the Roman speech and the Roman everything. It's kept it intact And now I'm here to bring it all together again. And he declared Catholicism the state religion. You know, it's almost as if God just put his pinky down and says, no, not yet. Just picked him up, you know what I mean? Picked him up by the scruff of his shirt or something, or his neck, and just said, you know what, not yet. Thumped him, he died. And said, I'm going to be more patient. Praise God! Now we've come in. Now we're saved because of that patience. But friends, it was lined up, ready to go. You understand that? As a boy, I've said many times that maybe I was 10 years old, and we all lined up here at a YMCA, and back then they would allow real preaching at the YMCA, see? And we're all sitting around here, and this man sat us all down and said, you know what, in your generation, there's going to be a computer that's going to come, that's going to be able to track everybody's financial, and there's going to be a mark in your forehead or in your hand. Boy, I'm listening, you know. And he said, the European common market nation, the European community, because back then, it wasn't called the European Union yet, it was the European community, see. He said, that thing's going to come together and get a one world, a unified currency. And finally, there's going to be a president of that union. And that man's going to be the Antichrist. We're like, wow. You know, you ought to listen real good when you're 10 years old. I made a mistake. Because I didn't get that information reviewed in my life, it just kind of sat there. Now, it brought forth fruit later. But I wish it would have brought forth fruit sooner. You understand that? Let what I'm telling you tonight bring forth fruit now. Let it do something in your life. Don't wait 20 years later, 15 years later. Okay? Well, guess what? The EU adopted a common currency in 1999. And now you've got news reports like this last year, or this past year. Is this Pope John Paul II waving from beyond the grave? Vatican TV director says yes. They want him to rise from the dead, you know? It's just crazy. But what about this? AP, September 14th. Catholic bishops instruct voters. Roman Catholic voters and lawmakers must heed church teaching on issues. How about this? You know, when Kennedy became president and they said, hey, we're going to elect a Catholic. They said, no, he's going to obey the Pope. They said, no, our Catholic politicians won't ever obey the Pope. You know, we'll just obey the Constitution. And so now, they kept electing them to office. Supreme Court, to where now, Catholics are the number one denomination or religion represented in our government. Then what do you think the Catholic Church does? Oh, they say, by the way, guys, now that you're all set, you have to obey your bishops. You have to vote and pass laws the way we tell you to vote. We knew it was coming. But nobody believed it. Nobody believed it. Now what about this? Catholicism, now Britain's most popular faith. Who would have ever thought of such a thing? Catholicism? What about this? Blair appointed Middle East envoy. Tony Blair says the only way of bringing stability and peace to the Middle East is a two-state solution. He's called a peacemaker. Senior UN officials describe Mr. Blair as a star player who will bring energy to the peace process. So somebody, some king of the European Union, is going to go in and solve the Middle East problem long enough for them to build a temple, and then halfway through, he's going to stop and break his agreement, and he's going to be the Antichrist. I'm not saying that Blair is necessarily Antichrist. I'm saying things are sure lining up. He's not president of the European Union yet. Uh-oh, but wait a second. Headline, Blair converts to Catholicism. Blair, who is now a Middle East peace envoy, met Pope Benedict at the Vatican. Meanwhile, the United States is losing ground. The euro gains on dollar in official reserves. They've long predicted that America must take a back seat as Europe rises, see. And this just last week, December 14th, 2007, 2 weeks ago, EU leaders signed new treaty for a European president. For years they said, oh, we'll never have a president. You know, we're just going to be some nations that come together, you know, nice little agreements we make with one another. We're not going to have a president. Now what do? They get together, by the way, guys, let's have a president. There has to be a president. It had to happen. So some of these preachers that have been preaching for 50 years, this is big news. Because they've been waiting for that to happen. They knew it would happen soon. Here's a headline. Blair has been endorsed as a future president of Europe. I don't know whether he'll ever become the president of Europe. But some Catholic, I do believe, is going to become the president of Europe. And he's going to be just as blasphemous as Mussolini. It might be next week. It might be a couple months down the road. It might be a couple years down the road. I don't know. But it's coming together, folks. We've already noticed the blasphemy of the EU. Do you realize that the 12 stars of the European Union flag I showed you last year is actually the symbol of Mary? Whenever you see a picture of Mary, she has that same symbol. And if you go back and research it, you'll find out the guy who designed the EU flag basically was a Catholic that brought the imagery, because they believe that it's through Mary that they're going to actually have this final European kingdom, the Roman kingdom revived, see. We've seen the Tower of Babel and their blasphemy. Malachi Martin says, back in 1990, but it's still powerful today, U.S. hegemony in financing has passed to others. As we enter the 90s, United States military and political supremacy is over. And you know what? Even though we're still powerful, I tell you what, George Bush has pretty much shot our character. Nobody cares about what we do, or you know they think that our decisions are bad, and so we've pretty much taken a back seat to the world. Now, Malachi Martin said this had to happen. He says there is to be a truly single market community comprising the whole of Western Europe's 350 million people. The European Union, that is. In the millennial, it's a millennial endgame. The Pope is following a timetable he asserts has been established in heaven. The foretold sequence of events he confidently ascribes to a woman, Mary. All has been in preparation for the signal role he firmly believes Mary will one day play in bringing into visible existence the geopolitical structure he has made his goal. Mary, he believes, has already predicted that geopolitical outcome. The title of the book is Pope John II versus Russia and the West for control of the New World Order. Now, John Paul never lived to get control of it. And he claimed that Mary was going to give him a great sign to show why he needs to be the ruler of the European Union, the revived Roman Empire. And he died. But that doesn't mean the goal of the Catholic Church is dead. And according to these devils that are speaking through these Catholics, they say very quickly now, the Catholic Church is going to join together with this great king of Europe. And the Pope and that king are going to bring in the most wonderful time the earth has ever seen. Like in the days of the Holy Roman Empire. Now, it was wonderful for the Pope. But it wasn't wonderful if you happen to be a Baptist. If you happen to deny infant sprinkling. If you happen to deny that cookie was Jesus. See, So they're bringing that thing back. Oh, there's so much, but I pray that'll stir you up a little bit tonight to let you know God's not asleep. The devil's not asleep. And every single year as we sleep and go about our business and drag our feet and kind of, you know, take our Christianity so casual, it's all coming together, folks. Watch and pray always, brother. Let's get serious about God. Let's get revival. Let's get rid of sin. Let's get rid of bad habit. Let's just look for Jesus to come and be ready and watching. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. Anybody who hears what I preach tonight is going to be responsible. And God's going to say at the judgment seat of Christ, with all the information that you've seen, you had a lot of motivation to be holy. Why is it that these other folks that didn't see even half of what you got to see were holy? See, what are we going to say? I think we're going to look at the Lord speechless. We have nothing to say. So let's get on our faces and serve God and ask Jesus to please have mercy on us. Come quickly, Lord, but account us worthy to escape what's coming. Let's pray. You want to come up here and bow the knee? It's a good night to do it. Jesus is coming. Judgment begins at the house of God. Dear Holy God, as we see these things coming to pass, as we see the stage setting, oh God, as we see so many signs lining up, Father, let us not have casual Christianity. Let us not have a lukewarm Christianity. Let us not have an effeminate Christianity that will not endure sound doctrine. Let us not be one of these men who are lovers of themselves and cannot endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus. They can't endure truth. They can't endure doctrine. God, let us show forth by a holy life that we know You're coming and You're coming soon. And the world may rage and kings may mock and join hands together. But we know soon the Son, the Lamb of God, is coming out of the sky. And they'll be running and digging holes and praying to the earth to hide them from the face of the Lamb. Holy Jesus, stir us up that we be not spotted with all this evil we see coming. Oh God, let us be faithful. You said to let, Father, to withstand, to resist, to get in the way. We pray, Father, that we'll be in the way of this Antichrist spirit, that we'll hinder it until You take us out of the way, Lord. Please account us worthy. Please account every Christian in this room, account them worthy, Father, to escape what's coming. Father, these children that are growing up in a wicked generation, Lord, let us, Father, build an ark that can preserve them, Father, and shield them from the wicked influences of this rock music and this homosexuality and these devils, Father, and this Harry Potter trash. Dear God, we want them to grow up in purity and holiness and to be strong arrows for You, Father. Father, be with our fellowship for the rest of the night. Let us have sweet songs unto You, sweet fellowship, sweet testimonies. Knit us together in love, Father. We need one another in these last days. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.